Welcome back, everyone. This is the Red and Yellow Kingdom podcast. I'm your host, Scott, joined by Rich with your average everyday Chiefs talk. All of our episodes are available on most streaming platforms. Just search for the Red and Yellow Kingdom podcast. You can also listen to us on directly on our Facebook page for our latest episodes, as well as check on our Twitter and Instagram for latest episodes and up-to-date Chiefs news. All right, so for today's episode and episodes going forward up until the draft, we're pretty much just going to be kind of breaking down offensive side of prospect potentials, what our needs are on the offense. Same thing goes for defense on the defensive prospects, kind of what our needs are on the defensive side of the ball. And also we'll have our, I guess you would say, final mock draft right up to the draft on Thursday. So just to kind of... Before we get into that, just kind of review a little bit of our draft picks going into that draft on Thursday. So I'll kind of just run down and kind of just give that breakdown here real quick too as well. So for the first round, obviously we have two picks. We have pretty much towards the end of the draft on 29 and 30. And also on round two, two more picks as well, number 50 and number 62. And round three, we have two picks as well, number 94 and 103. Round four, two picks once again, number 121 and number 135. And then we don't have anything for round five or round six. We kind of just go straight to round seven, where we have our last four picks for number 233, number 243, number 251, and number 259. So just kind of just real quick before we get into kind of the bulk of our episode, Rich, what are kind of your thoughts as far as, I know we have 12 picks this year. I think it's tied for the most this year. I want to say the Jags, but I can't remember exactly the team. So what are your thoughts on having 12 picks this year for the draft?
For a guy like myself that loves the whole draft process, I love it. But let's say just taking that side out of it and understanding our team roster, I think it's perfect because you want to remain competitive while retooling, not so much rebuilding or destroying and rebuilding. And what better way than to get cheap labor right through the draft? You get guys anywhere from 4 to 2 years or 1 year deal, depending on how late you get guys. Mm-hmm. At a cheaper rate than when they hit free agency. So I love it. I think it makes perfect sense. The work that Veach has done to acquire these picks. I understand we lost some good players along the way, but that's what you want is if you have holes on your team, and you don't have a lot of money, which you technically shouldn't if you're very competitive, picks is the way to go. And we've got, 8 picks in the first four rounds. That's prime draft capital there. So I love it. It's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah. So do you think, I guess we can kind of talk to this kind of as we go through these next episodes, but what is your, initial opinion on, trading up or trading some of those picks? Do you think some of that might happen?
I think at some point it will. And I don't expect a Patrick Mahomes trade, right? Where we're going from late late in the round to way up and giving up a lot of assets.
Right.
But, I can see us moving up a few spots just to get the guy that maybe we didn't think would be there at that time, exchanging a pick, number of pick, and then throwing in a later round. Those seventh rounders are good for purely discovery players and packages for a move up, a few spots or something like that. So, to answer your question, yeah, I think there's definitely a possibility. Now, let's say I think everyone cares the most about round one. That's the one that kind of worries me because I would like two impact players in round one versus one really good impact player. I think we can get two good ones and not give up as much as if we traded up and got one really good player, but then have to give up like four picks between 2 years or something like that.
Right. Even if we're just trying to maybe jump in within like the 20s somewhere, you're still giving up probably something. But the potential of getting somebody great compared to, like you said, two good players later in the first round it's kind of like you have to pretty much jump pretty, you know, pretty far ahead. But then again, I mean, who knows if that one player that you really see that you jump ahead far into the, you know, into that first round, it's like, you know, that's not a guarantee, right? I mean, we've seen that so many times with people that go so high and people are so high on, but they don't end up being that great. So there's just a risk factor too as well. So it'd be interesting to see what we do. But yeah, I mean, that's I think that's when you have 12 picks, that's what you have to kind of offer to see if there is that reach that you can go to and, you know, maybe get somebody that they might want to get. But currently I kind of like how we have 12 picks for sure. All right. So, so starting with, like I said, today's episode, we will focus on the offensive side of the ball. And we'll kind of just kind of go over real quick. I'll give it to you, Rich, on kind of like what is the focus point as far as on the positions on the offensive side of the ball that we're kind of looking at to fill gaps or holes on our team.
Yeah, and this one's weird, right? Because, I mean, and we talk about it all the time in our group chats and stuff like that. But my initial thought was right tackle would be our biggest priority. But we did sign Jerron Christian to play that role. And at least from what I've watched and looking at his numbers, of course, he's on his third team, and he's like 26, if I'm not mistaken, 27. So that technically isn't good because, I mean, you want to keep talent. But then again, it's the Commanders and the Texans. So they aren't a place of consistency or constantly good choices. So, you know, one or two teams trash might be, you know, one team's treasure. So right tackle was, I'll probably still put it down as my one because it's uncertain. Wide receiver is another question mark because, you know, the thought process is to share the workload, right? Not rely so much on, let's say, a Tyreek and a Travis Kelce. Mm-hmm. It's spread the ball around, kind of like what we did as the offense was evolving and when Tyreek Hill was out. We've got Juju. We've got MVS. McColl, you know, it's his big year for, you know, big coming out party for him. Mm-hmm. He's gradually improved every year. So you've got three good targets. Now, you know, talent, elite talent is something you never pass up on. So, and there are a ton of good wide receivers that will probably be available in that late round one time frame for us. So that's another one. And then I have tight end always on there because, I mean, Kelce is getting older. He hasn't slowed down one bit. I always want to mess up Noah Gray's name, but yeah, I think I got it right. And I think Noah Gray he's not like a full-fledged Kelce replacement down the road. Not right now, right? He's a different kind of tight end. Jody Forston is like a Darren Waller hybrid, you know, tight end slash really big wide receiver. So we still need maybe a young understudy that can follow Travis for whatever amount of time he decides to play. Because like I said, I'm nowhere near throwing in the white flag saying it's time to give up on Kelce. Not one bit, right?
I think you'd be crazy to think so right now.
Exactly. Yeah. But it's always good to acquire talent. And, you know, those young guys that you can take in later rounds are always – it's always cool to have them and they can learn from, you know, one of the all-time greats. So those are my three big ones. The rest are, you know, just depth positions. And, of course, you know that Brevich is going to draft a running back at some point. Let's just hope it's not in round two or something like that.
Right. And that was a good point because I'm glad you mentioned that because I was kind of thinking like I have heard rumors that obviously there's probably going to be a running back at some sort in this draft being drafted for us just because the likeliness of, you know, I mean, obviously I think people maybe forget that we have Derek Gore. I mean, obviously Ronald Jones and Clyde Edwards-Helaire are the main two backs, but people might forget we still have Derek Gore too as well. But obviously it doesn't hurt to obviously draft somebody, of course, later in the draft. Obviously I wouldn't recommend probably the first couple rounds, or at least maybe, you know, maybe start with a round towards the end of round three or maybe four. I definitely wouldn't go with one the first two rounds for sure. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, that's one of the positions that, you know, you never know because I think I want to say Clyde Edwards-Helaire because he just got drafted 2 years ago. He's only under contract for what, this year and next year, I think. Right. Depending on what he does. So that could be a potential replacement. But, and then obviously Ronald Jones only signed for a year or 2 years for Jones.
Should be a year.
That's what I thought it was just a year or two as well. So, I mean, yeah, there's potential for some kind of upgrade in that in the future. So maybe they might just look and see about drafting someone later. But like you said, don't expect them to draft somebody high for that
position. You never know, right?
You never know though. Yeah, it's true. So, But just to kind of go over recap of what you said, I kind of agree with what you had said about right tackle, just because we had signed Christian. You know, it's just like, you know, I really think you still want to get somewhere younger. I did look up, he's 25 years old. So he's still technically young, but like I said, it'd be nice to see if we could just kind of just snag somebody. And then I think wide receiver is probably the biggest need out of anything in the offense, which is really not a whole lot, but, you know, something to look there and just kind of, and then like you said, tight end, it's just kind of like, well, you know, for right now, it seems like we have the full fit for, you know, Kelce, Gray, and Fortson. And only we have Blake Bell too as well, but he's kind of just there for mostly blocking, I think.
Right.
I think that was good for those three and potential four positions on the offense. So moving forward, what are some of, I think you said you had a couple of players you'd want to talk about as far as potential prospects the Chiefs might select in this upcoming draft?
Yeah, for sure. So even the experts, right, even the Mel Kuypers and the Matt Millers and all those guys, the Kyle Crabs, you know, we have you can have a good understanding of the top, let's say, like 45, 60 players. In those later rounds, it's all kinds of different things happens, right? So I don't get too deep into the weeds just because, like I said, the research taken there is a full-time job. And it's like, you know, throwing a rock in the ocean. It's a huge, there's a humongous area, right? So I'll talk about a few folks really at each position that I like and that should be available around those time frames. So start out with the tackle position. You know, the three big names are Evan Neal, Ikem Ekwonu, and Charles Cross. Those guys will be gone in the top 10, right? So we'll skip over those names. And the first guy I got for you is the guy that kind of started grabbing attention at the Senior Bowl because he was super aggressive with everybody, you know, showing absolutely nastiness. And that's Trevor Penning out of Northern Iowa. Plays the left tackle. Some people say he probably play the right tackle just because he's a lot more aggressive. He's more of a run blocker. He's a little too aggressive to be like an NFL left tackle. So, yeah, I mean, he's always somebody to check out on YouTube. Because like I said, he was kind of starting stuff in the Senior Bowl with how aggressive he is. And that's somebody you want as your right tackle with the right-handed quarterback, right? That's technically the side that you should run to the most. That's your power side. So that's one guy. The next guy, I think he'll probably end up being gone before a pick just because he checks every single box. And that's Bernard Raymond out of Central Michigan. This guy's cool because he moved to the States, if I'm not mistaken, in high school from Austria, and kind of was a tight end, evolved into a tackle. So, you know, he's athletic. He's got good feet. He just got bigger and became a tackle. So that one, it would be super cool if he was available. I think Beach would, you know, and the Chiefs would take a serious look on if that were the case. But like I said, I think that one might be a reach as well as Penning. The next two guys, I think they might be a little bit more realistic from a tackle perspective, but Abraham Lucas, he's a guy that plays right tackle at Washington State. Watching him, he's got good movement, probably needs to improve his power a little bit, overall technique, but that's, you know, that's everybody, right? So, but he's a true right tackle. He played right tackle at Washington State. And that's someone who, if we're looking at a tackle, he should be there. But you know how the NFL draft goes is, seems like they're like fantasy drafts, right? Once somebody starts taking a position, there's like this run of those kind of, you know, players because people start panicking, so on and so forth. But then my last guy, and this one's weird because a lot of people have him projecting switching to guard in the NFL. But I really like him and everything I've seen. And I think he's currently got like a mid to late second round grade. But that's Tyler Smith out of Tulsa. Like I said, he's a guy who, man, he's nasty. Like he's nasty, but he's a technician. Like he's not just one of those guys that throws his weight around.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how he beats everyone. It's more about he knows how to play the tackle position. I think because of his size and maybe he's not the most mobile. People say he might move into guard, but if we could slide him in at right tackle, you know, why not? But again, right, those names are people that, let's say, kind of rank anywhere from 15 to 70. And, yeah, between the 29, the 30, the 50, or the 62nd pick, you know, maybe some of those guys might be available. If I had to pick one that, let's say, would make would make sense for us, it would probably be Abraham Lucas, who was also a Senior Bowl participant and kind of elevated his status a little bit. So yeah, talking about some of those guys, you know, obviously there's YouTube and all kinds of stuff you can watch. But yeah, let's say that from all of those tackles, you know, what are your thoughts on some of those names or, you know, potential fits for the Chiefs if you're thinking about a tackle at 29 or 30?
I mean, I kind of like what you had mentioned about the, excuse me, the first guy that played left tackle. You said Northern Illinois, right, I believe?
Northern Iowa.
Or Northern Iowa, I'm sorry, I couldn't remember. It's like Illinois, Iowa. But no, I mean, something like that, I was kind of looking to see, you know, if he would probably be, like they said, that fit for potentially if Orlando Brown doesn't come back, or possibly, like I said, maybe even filling in for the right tackle. I think he would be probably more of the guy that would probably want to be selected, you know, if we can get him. I guess like right now, is he expected top of the first round, isn't he?
Yeah, and that's the thing is, like, of course, all these mocks and stuff like that from all these websites, they have him, you know, before the Senior Bowl, he probably was like a day two, day three pick. But after Senior Bowl, his stock really skyrocketed, and now they're talking about first round. After the first three tackles, I mean, like, those guys are all top 10. So who knows, you know, what the next three to four guys will, you know, what will happen with them. But yeah, he's probably the best out of those, if not the Bernard Raymond kid from Central Michigan.
I was going to have this kind of final thoughts topic because it kind of blended in with our offensive side. I don't know if you probably have heard this week that, you know, Patrick Mahomes came out about a couple of days ago and he said, you know, it's really fun practicing with this new group of wide receivers that he has, you know, as far as he sees the biggest thing in this new group that we have, like, a lot of size, not so much how in the past we were having all that speed and we're beating guys downfield, but he really likes the size of the new wide receivers for this group. And, you know, I think he even mentioned, like, normally I'll be overthrowing these guys and, like, they're still going up and grabbing it out of thin air, you know, and getting the ball. So what do you think about what he says about the new, I guess you would say, the blend of what we kind of had and kind of a new kind of blend what we have going forward with the wide receiver group?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you've heard several times from me about with the Tyreek Hill and his abilities with pass catching compared to these guys. And just it's a completely different offense, right? And what Patrick said is perfect. And I agree with it just because it's different. It's more possession-based. You got guys who have wider catching radiuses. Stuff like that. And yeah, even some of the wide receivers that I'll talk about kind of fit that a little bit more. I think everyone's naturally inclined to find Tyreek Hill's replacement when that may not be the case.
Okay, yeah. I guess you would say, like, speaking of the wide receivers that you're probably wanting to mention, what are some of those wide receiver prospects you were looking at?
Yeah, so wide receivers wise, and this is, I always, no matter what the year, I always dig into the wide receivers. So there's a ton of them. There may not be a Ja'Marr Chase or something like that. Of course, you know, probably a wide receiver would be the offensive rookie of the year, since that's usually the case in modern day NFL. But, you know, after a few of the top guys like Jameson Williams, Drake London, the two guys from Ohio State in Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave, once those guys are off the board in the top 20 picks, the wide receivers, let's say, that might be available. And the first guy I talk about is, I think it's a big might, because without his injury and some of his fighting videos or fighting instances that he's had on the field, George Pickens is a guy who, if he's available at 29, you got to run up to the podium and submit, or you got to run up to the commissioner or whoever you submit stuff to and turn in his name, because George Pickens is, imagine AJ Green's body with, like, T. Higgins's mobility and agility and pass catching setup, but like Aaron Donald's nastiness and fearsome. And he's fun to watch. Like I said, he got dinged up for Georgia, but he's a good big body wide receiver. He's got amazing hands, very willing blocker. So he'd just be, man, he'd fit in perfectly with the new style offense that we've got set up. Trey Burks is wide receiver out of Arkansas. Big body, people kind of, let's say, have shot him down, up, down, or up. Let's say lowered his ranking on the wide receiver boards because he's not that good at separation, although his numbers are pretty good, and he tore up Alabama when they played them. But he's another big body wide receiver. Think of an A.J. Brown. Still explosive and can take things to the house, so he's another good one. Sky Moore is probably the one that fits the replace Tyreek Hill model. And he's one where when you watch him, super explosive, might be the most explosive wide receiver in this draft. He's about 5'10", a little bit over 180. But, I mean, his ability to separate based off how fast he is really nice. It's something to watch with Sky Moore. And then my last guy that I really call out, because this is a guy that I've been rooting for and hopefully he ends up being a Chief. I think he might be taken before our pick because I think there's going to be a lot of wide receivers taken in the first round. And that's Jahan Dotson out of Penn State. He's kind of famous for a really nice one-handed catch he had last season. Aside from, you know, his amazing stats, he was without a doubt Penn State's best wide receiver, top three wide receiver in the Big Ten, you know, one of the best wide receivers in the country. Very explosive. He's not a big dude from a weight perspective. I think he's only like he's barely pushing 180, but he's 6'1". He said he's got that catching radius like your, you know, your Odell Beckhams, your Jamar Chases, those kind of wide receivers. So, again, fits more of that new Chief style wide receiver that we're looking for. But he's also a burner. Like the man has jets. So I think Jahan Dotson, if he's there at 29 or 30, you run to the board to turn in his name because he would without a doubt make the Chiefs a much better team like day one. So,
and do you think it's possible he could fall that far? Or
yeah, because again, right? You know, the draft experts, the guys who do this for a living, they have him like listed in the 30s and 40s on ranking. But like I said, the NFL draft GMs get nervous, or sometimes, you know, their boards are just completely different than the experts, right? Well, I guess the experts would be the people in the NFL.
Yeah.
The guys who write for a living about the stuff, they are what we consider the experts. But yeah, I think Jahan Dotson, he's probably more likely to be there than George Pickens because, like I said, a lot of teams might be scared of his size despite him playing in the Big Ten and, you know, dominating and doing really, really well.
Yeah, when you mentioned George Pickens, he's been one of the guys I actually have had for us taken in that second round, like kind of around that 40th pick. Because, like you said, he has the potential of, you know, have it being that X receiver for us. But because he was probably more of the ones that, if he's around, then that I think the Chiefs ultimately take. But I guess it depends on if they take somebody in that first round too as well. But that was pretty much more so. Of who I was kind of looking forward to is George Pickens. If he was still available, the Chiefs could take him. But yeah, no, as far as what you kind of went over on the wide receivers, yeah, if and like I said, that last guy, you know, if Dotson's still available there towards the end of that first round, I think it's kind of hard to pass up on him. So yeah, that would be kind of obviously a good pick for the Chiefs for that. So I think you have tight ends coming up next. So I'll send it back over to you for the tight ends.
Yeah, and so tight ends, this is definitely not a year of, you know, some high draft pick tight ends. I don't think a first rounder will be taken, or if that makes sense. I don't think a tight end will be taken in the first round. So a few names, guys that let's say I followed for a while, kind of once we started focusing on this year. Trey McBride out of Colorado State. If you watch him, and you can literally just you YouTube his highlights. You don't even have to watch the Versus film. Man, he kind of reminds you of like a little Travis Kelce, the way he moves and stuff like that. Kind of like George Kittle. More, I guess he's more of a George Kittle than a Travis Kelce because I think he's a little bit shorter than Travis. But check him out because he's fun to watch. But, I mean, he's projected maybe like round two, round three. So, again, you know, we found Travis what in round – I always forget. Is Travis three or five? I think we found Travis in round three.
I always do that too as well. It is – hold on 1 second.
Because I get him and Jared Allen confused for some reason.
Yeah, it looks like he was round – hold on a second. Does that say it like that?
Tyreek was what, five or six?
Round three, I'm sorry. Yeah, in 2013, round three.
Yep, there you go. So, I mean, there's a ton of tight ends out there that are late round picks that are doing really, really well. And like I said, Trey McBride might fit that. Like I said, he's just a fun dude to watch. So that's one name to watch in the later rounds. Man, it'd be nice if we had like a, you know, the old Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez two tight end system with Patrick. It'd be nightmares. As the NFL is getting lighter with their corners and running all these nickel and dime packages, and you go with a two tight end set with Kelce and let's say like a Trey McBride with Juju, MVS, and then Nicole, you know, as your speedster, that would be scary for offenses, like I said, or sorry, for defenses. So that's one name to watch. The next guy that I really like is a big body, and I shared this. I think I shared his stats and some of his, like, workouts with you guys. Is Jelani Woods from Virginia. The man is humongous. He's 6'7", 260 pounds, but he can move for a big dude. And he went to Virginia, he was at Virginia, so got to watch him when they played the Canes. And a dude that big should not be able to move the way he does, and he's got hands. So that'll be a fun dude who, like I said, I think he'll probably be somewhere between like a 4 to 6 round pick.
But didn't this guy run like a 4.61?
Yeah, he was for that big. Yeah, he ran like super fast. And he looks that fast on film, right? Sometimes straight line speed versus game film are two different things. But no, this guy looks just as good playing football as opposed to just running in shorts. So that's another interesting name for them. And then really the other two guys, and the first one is, his name is Isaiah Likely. He is out of Coastal Carolina. He is a much smaller tight end. Maybe kind of fits the I forgot his first name. Evan Ingram from the Giants, who now is with the Jaguars. He's kind of a smaller line or a smaller tight end, not as tall as Evan Ingram, but it kind of gives you a little bit of a comparison. Quick, shifty, more athletic than your typical tight end. Purely a pass catching threat. Would have to learn how to block, get bigger, stuff like that. And the last guy is more of your old school tight end, you know, kind of like imagine if Travis Kelce was slower or if Gronk was shorter. So Charlie Kolar out of Iowa State, he is a, like I said, your old school. When you think of old school tight ends, he's the kind of tight end that you think about. So not quite like Blake Bell, right, where he's there for a few occasional catches and blocking. Charlie Kolar is definitely a pass catching tight end as well, but you know, he's a big dude, can block a lot more, or can block as well, I should say. So yeah, there's some, like I said, there's no elite, you know, Kyle Pitts. You think about TJ Hockenson, a couple of tight ends that have gone high, Kellen Winslow, that have gone high in the NFL draft, but a lot of good pass catching talent, just because the tight end position is also evolved in college football, right? Where these guys aren't just pass blockers, they're more like big old slot wide receivers. So, some guys to follow.
I know you didn't mention one guy because I saw one guy, he was kind of in our mocks. It was the UCLA tight end as a guy. It was Greg Dulcich or something. I guess he was a former wide receiver that I guess now has that ability to get open and athleticism, I guess you would say, to be a threat, kind of like a Kelce, but like you said, it's kind of like more of a, I think he's more of a could be like a controversial kind of pick just because of, you know, how Kelce and him's kind of like the same kind of guy. But I think when I'd seen him in a mocks, he's like a late second. I guarantee we won't take a tight end with late second. So, I wasn't sure what you thought about him.
Yeah, so he's one I didn't call out, even though, like, I think most people have him ranked as, like, the second or third best tight end. Very athletic. I watched him a little bit. Very athletic. Like you said, kind of mimics that Travis Kelce athleticism. I think it's more of, say, I don't talk about him much because I haven't watched him enough.
Gotcha.
Yeah, like, he's one where a lot of people, like you said, right, have him in, late second. Probably into day three. Day three is probably more realistic. But that's how Travis Kelce was, right? Super athletic dude, big guy that could move. The tight end position, like I said, I think that's going to be one. Tight end and running back are the two positions that I think over the next 5 years, one, not only are they going to evolve, but they're going to be important again from a power perspective, because the NFL is going to go back to being a little bit more run heavy focused, because the defenses have gotten so little, right? Because, you know, they have a lot more nickel and dime packages with a bunch of defensive backs weighing 200 pounds. And then you've got pass catchers that are 250 and running backs coming at you that are 220 plus. So yeah, that's like I said. I mean, and yeah, I'm all for now. Veach better not do anything in round one with these tight ends, right? But
right, we might jump down his throat if he drafts a right. tight end in round
definitely
one.
In the later rounds would be good. And then one more. I know I didn't talk about let's say running backs, but one guy that I absolutely love, and if he's there in round 3, 4, which I think he will be at least in round 3, but it's Dalvin Cook's little brother, James Cook from Georgia. He is literally, he plays like, if you, he looks just like him. If you watch him play, he looks just like Dalvin Cook in every way. He's just about 15 pounds lighter. But if he were to be there available, let's say around 3, 4, man, he would be nasty in an Andy Reid offense. He would be someone who you don't have to re-sign Ronald Jones next year. You let him and Edwards-Helaire and Gore kind of, you know, fight for spots or share the load. Because that kid, I think he's going to be, you know, running backs are always taking in later rounds. They end up being really good players in the NFL. Mm-hmm. I think James Cook could be a really good player in the NFL. And if he's there for the Chiefs late, man, I hope Veach takes him.
Just kind of real quick, I'm just going to put out two other names to see what your kind of thoughts are. Obviously, the Michigan State running back, Kenneth Walker. What are your thoughts on him?
Oh, man, I hate that dude because he destroyed Miami. no, but he's a beast. Yeah. But I think he'll be gone around too. I think he'll be the first or second running back taken. Dude is a beast. He is a imagine like almost like Maurice Jones-Drew, but a little bit bigger. He's no Jonathan Taylor or no Derrick Henry that big, because I think he's like 5'9". But he's short, compact, can catch, can run. But yeah, I think he'll be the first running back taken on day two.
And then just the other one, there's Hassan Haskins, running back from Michigan. It sounds like he'll be a day 3 running back. Could be more. It looks like more maybe of a project because his ceiling's rather low. But what are your kind of thoughts on him?
Yeah, I mean, you said it perfectly. Is definitely more of a project for the NFL. I think he's going to be like definitely a good rotation running back for whatever team takes him. Yeah, I mean, Michigan did a very good job of using him this past year, and he capitalized on it and was very successful for them. So, yeah, that's another guy who, if by some chance, right, they're available, you take a look at it because, man, these, you know, when you're a good team, not saying you can risk it more, but you're adding talent, you know, and we've already shown that we can develop talent. I mean, a couple guys, let's say under the Andy Reid era, that have really, really developed, right? So obviously Tyreek Hill. I know what Kelsey was here 2 years before Reed got here. I always forget. Reed got here in, was it 13 or 15?
Oh, man. I think I want to say Reed got here in like 15.
I'm so bad at it. I always get the 3 and the 5 because of Kelsey and Hill's draft spots. So I want to, you know what? I think it is.
You actually got here in 13. So yeah, okay. Never mind. Yeah.
So I mean, Kelsey, right? Kelsey, third round pick.
Yeah.
Developed. Yep. Tyreek Hill, 5th round pick or 6th, developed. I forgot what Kareem Hunt was, but he developed. Mm-hmm. You know, defensively, there are a few guys that developed, which we'll save defensive draft talk for them. But yeah, like when you have a great coaching staff, you want to get guys who are just amazingly athletic and love football, and then hopefully you can get everything you possibly can out of them, you know, through good coaching. So, like you said, you know, some of those guys, if we take a chance on them, they're in a better situation for us where they get to learn behind guys like Kelsey, guys like, I mean, even Helaire and Ronald Jones. If we take, you know, any line, which we're going to take linemen, right? You always take linemen for depth.
Yeah, you have to.
But, yeah, those are all guys that can come in and learn from good pros. Whereas if you're getting drafted by, like, the Jaguars, yeah, without a doubt, you play right away. But you're kind of learning on the job. Which is just as good, right? But like I said, some of these, I mean, look at what Belichick did. How many years he was stocked with talent because he had really good coaching. Mm-hmm. He knew how to get the absolute most out of each player. And the Chiefs are kind of in that setup as well. Or I'm sorry, they are in that setup, but I'm just saying like they're basically doing the same thing as that.
No, I totally agree with that. Yep.
So yeah. So let me ask you this. You are Brett Veach. It's the 29th pick. If you, based on, let's say, what you know and kind of some of the mocks you've seen out there, who would you take with the 29th pick?
The 29th pick.
Oh, sorry. You know what? I guess we got to add one more since this is it. This is an offensive episode.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Offense only, right? It's 29th pick. We're going offense only today.
Oh, man. Because I'm going to say, man, with those first two picks in the first round, I don't even think, unless it's somebody, you know, really that kind of drops. I still say I would take defense on those first two picks.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to really think who would be like the one guy that I would take on the offensive side. Because even from what I've been seeing, even on mocks, like there's not a lot of people to even put somebody wide on offense for that. Man, you stumped me on that one. It'd have to be like the, I would say like the, if I had to pick one person, it probably had to be that Dotson kid, that wide receiver. I mean, that would be it. Other than that, I probably wouldn't really reach on anybody else on that, because I think it's just, for me, for sake, I think it's just more so we should use that on defense. But mm-hmm. if it's somebody, a really good wide receiver like that, that drops that far, then I would say him. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, I would say the exact same thing. Like, George Pickens is my one, but I think his just profile, he might end up going top 20 just because, like I said, the NFL, they just do things like that. And he's got a potential to be the best wide receiver taken this year. But if Jahan Dotson is available, that athleticism, that speed, that pass-catching ability,
mm-hmm.
As well as coming from – I know technically what program you come for shouldn't matter, but – he played against elite talent, right, in the Big Ten. Man, if Chiefs got him at 29, I'd be ecstatic. I think it's like a, like I said, we're not finding Tyreek Hill's replacement, and that's different. But you got him matched with Juju, with MVS, and McCole. That would be four really good wide receiver prospects. And although you technically look at things year by year, let's just say McCole doesn't pan out. Right.
Unless, right.
You know, next year is his last year or his last rookie contract year. Then you don't have to either resign him or worry, because you have technically a replacement. And if he's done well, you know, he could end up being our one or two, because Juju is also only on a 1 year contract, right? Only MBS is on a 3 year, aside from the other guys that we've got on the roster. So Jahan Dotson's there, man. I'm all for it. I'm with you on, if he's there, I would be ecstatic as heck, right? I don't buy player jerseys anymore, but that's a rookie card I'll definitely be looking for, because, like I said, he would be nice. And I think he's going to go in the late round one, and he's going to get a good team. And that's why I think he may end up being the best wide receiver from a numbers perspective by the end of the 2022 season.
And the reason why, you know, you kind of I hesitate even just to even think about drafting a wide receiver in the first round is because, A, we don't have a history of drafting anything potential-wise for a wide receiver that sticks around that's actually pretty good in the first round. We just never have had anything to that degree they could say, okay, first round. Because I don't know, Dwayne Bowe, he wasn't first round, right?
Yeah, or if Dwayne Bowe was, I mean, and he was okay, right, for...
Yeah, I mean, he was still okay. I mean, I guess if you had to say, like, who was the best wide receiver round one we've taken, it's probably him, but that's not saying much. I mean, yeah, he had some decent years, but he wasn't like, you know, some of these other players that got drafted in the first round.
You're saying you don't like Sylvester Morris? He's
the first round pick, wasn't he? Yeah, definitely not Sylvester Morris. No, but
yeah, we were all like, what the hell?
Yeah, exactly. But like, I think, because coming back to me, it's like in this year's draft, there's no Ja'Marr Chase. There's no Justin Jefferson. There's no guy like that that just going to, or, you know, you could even say DK Metcalf, you know, he didn't go to the second round. But there's nobody like to that degree in this draft that you're like, oh, you got to have him if we have a chance to get him, you know, this year. So, right. That's why, for me, it's kind of hard, and I'd still be kind of cringy even if we took Dotson at wide. I mean, he sounds like he would be someone that will fit our team wide, but I mean, It's still kind of an iffy there.
It's hard, right?
Yeah, so it's like that's why it's like it's hard for me to say I'd be excited if we took a wide receiver in the first round. If we do, we do. But I would more so hopefully we spend it on defense for both those two picks.
So you're also saying you didn't like the John Baldwin pick, huh?
Definitely not.
I don't think anybody did. You know what's crazy is when we got him, right, he played at Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I watched him playing in the ACC a lot. And he had a ton of potential. But if I'm not mistaken, that was what? Is that Todd Haley's first or second year? Second year?
No,
I don't know. One of those. But he had all the measurables to be a really good wide receiver. We just sucked at that time, right? And then it just didn't work out. It's funny because I just had a conversation about those late first-round picks. They never pan out. And, yeah, he might be – or not, he might be. He was definitely one. So, no, I get it. I get that, taking a wide receiver at the end of round one might be scary. But I will say is, like you said, there's no Ja'Marr Chase. But there are a ton of – I won't even say Justin Jefferson because Justin Jefferson is amazing. But there are a ton of wide receivers that are maybe like the Jarvis Landry where they're not an amazing number one.
Mm-hmm.
They're a really good number two. But they're flirting with potential being number one. I think there are a lot of really good, solid wide receivers that in the right setups will do really, really good. And Jahan Dotson with the Chiefs would be, like I said, it'd be as safe of a wide receiver pick, I guess, as we could get.
Yeah, and kind of just going back to it, obviously, I guess you can't really say, oh, we've had bad history. Yeah, we took in two bad wide receivers in the first round. Exception of Bo being, exceptional. But other than that, we had to take a wide receiver in the first round before those three or since 82. So, I guess you couldn't say like we've taken like, we're not like the Detroit Lions. We took like a wide receiver every year for like 4 years in a row, whatnot, and just didn't pan out. So,
yeah.
So I guess there is that too as well. But I still just think looking at this team, I'd rather just have defense for those first two picks. But like you said, if someone like Dotson falls, I think it's something that you definitely go ahead and take your chance on, especially with having two picks. It's not like you only have one, right? So I think that's something to look forward to.
Now, obviously, I'm going to hit you with another surprise question. Obviously, aside from the, you don't take a quarterback in round one.
Yeah.
You got Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
What would be the position that if we took an offensive position in round one, let's say with, we already talked about 29 as wide receiver.
Yeah.
At 30, if we took another offensive player, at what position would you be absolutely floored or pissed off about? Because you're like, what are we doing?
Because this is all fantasy world. I don't see this happening because if we took two offensive players to those positions, I think most Chiefs fans would be like, what is Veach really doing? It'd have to be offensive linemen. I've heard that offensive linemen this year's draft for overall like positions isn't really that deep at a lot of areas. And if I'm not mistaken, linemen on both sides of the ball is one of the probably more so deepest positions they have. So it would have to be someone like on the offensive line. I know it's always offensive line picks are not sexy picks, right? They're not picks that people are going to be like, oh, they get to enjoy about, but for me, it would have to be that because if you're looking at everything else, it's definitely not going to be quarterback. We also drafted a first round running back 2 years ago. It's not going to be running back, and it definitely wouldn't be tight end in my opinion either. Because I don't think there's no tight ends in this draft that's worthy of that high up in the draft this year. So it would have to be like a tackle for me. It'd have to be something like that. What about you?
Yeah. So for me, I think about that all the time, right? Because those late round one picks they're always different. So I wouldn't rule out tackle, whether from a left or a right tackle, just because I would want to have Orlando signed before the draft, which is within the next few days. It's not going to happen. It would be dumb on his part to not stay with the Chiefs. It would be dumb on the Chiefs to not keep him in every way because he was good. Left guard, we're locked up there with Thuney. He's a beast. We got two rookies. Who are absolute beasts. So we're good there. The right tackle position, we've already talked about that. So for me, if we took a running back in the first round, which again, right, this is fantasy, and I guess I'm just answering the question, I'd probably lose my stuff. Tight end, if for some reason they thought, oh my goodness, I forgot his name already. Trey McBride was not good and they take him with the 30th pick. I wouldn't be that upset because, like I said, Trey McBride with Travis Kelce would be nasty. But yeah, so for me, it would be running back, but I think that's a given. So, and that's an easy way to answer the question. So I really agree with you. If we took a left guard, which there is there are some really good left guards projected to be there in that late round one, or even a center or any of the guard spots, man, I'd be like, what are we doing? You know?
Yeah.
But again, that's for the sake of this activity. We're focused on offense only. And I don't think any of those situations will happen, but it's fun to fantasize about those weird things.
Oh yeah, definitely. I think our next episode on defense will feel more like natural because that's what's most likely will happen. It's possible that it's going to be one offense, one defense, but it'll be more that it would be two defensive players than it would be two offensive players. So yeah, just for the sake of argument, it's good to see what happened, but obviously, if he went with two offensive players at those positions, you'd probably just see they're scratching their head and like, I have no idea what he's doing. So, especially if it's like two wide receivers, you know, something like that, like something ridiculous like that, then you're just like, I don't know what he's doing. So, but yeah, for the sake of just, you know, kind of fun and, you know, see what would happen. Yeah, that's always interesting to see what would, you know, what would happen.
Hey man, I'd argue if we took Pickens and Dotson, oh, dude, I'd be happy. But I'm a wide receiver guy.
Yeah.
I used to be all about defense, and I still think defense is how you win championships, hence the Rams.
Yeah.
I've gotten older, and all I care about, which is backwards, right? Usually when you get older, all you care about is defense, but I'm like, man, I want to see points.
Mm-hmm.
So if we took – let's say we took Sky Moore and Dotson.
Wow.
Everyone would lose their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, those would be some nice weapons. No lie.
Yeah, that's true. If we draft two high-end wide receivers, people would be like, well, I guess they're just retooling the offense, you know, just keep retooling Patrick Mahomes with people. So yeah, definitely on that. All right, so with that actually being said, that's actually the end of today's Red and Yellow Kingdom podcast. Like I said, definitely check back with us here in the next coming days. We'll have our defensive side of the ball talk as far as potential prospects. And then obviously who we might think we might take on the defensive side for the number 29 and number 30 picks of the first round. And then also our mock draft as well. We'll have our full mock draft, I guess you would say, for all of our picks on the actual draft day on Thursday as well. So thanks again for listening. Don't forget to follow our podcast and go Chiefs.